B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So it's hour two, Felger and Maz, Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. I'm hearing that Mac Jones' agent is actually Jimmy Sexton and Tom Condon. And it's not Tom Condon, it's his son, Tommy Condon.
Tommy boy!
So even the agents are, it's all nepotism, it's all kids. It's all the kids of the father. Anyway, so...
Tom Jr.
I'm hearing some from of our well-placed NFL media friends that Mac's agents are actually Jimmy Sexton, who is a longtime guy, and Tommy Condon, son of Tom Condon, who was the one who quit on Watson rather than signing the Patriots' lousy deal. So there's that.
Is the dad retired?
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know. And
my dad says you should take the deal.
The whole thing was, you know, trying to get Watson to sign for the sixth year as a rookie back when that was a thing. You can't do that anymore. Another thing the Patriots did, the NFL said you can't do anymore. The details, I just can't remember what was what at that time. But I don't know. So this is part of the thing. Bill's going to hang over Mac Jones. Dude, you were falling. You were falling unless I saved you. And I feel for all these guys when he is up for a contract, especially if he's good. If he's good. So anyway, there's that developing opinion. Back to your phones on everything here from the week on an agenda-free Friday. Let's bring on Ian in New Bedford. He has a Celtics talk. Go ahead, Ian.
What's up, guys? Happy Friday. I have a couple of concerns about the Celtics. I mean, granted, they haven't been healthy all year, so Brad hasn't been able to establish a consistent rotation. But I don't know what the hell he's going to do when it actually comes down to crunch time, what buttons he's going to press. I mean, he's got 13 guys that he plays. Evan Fournier can't guard anybody. So, I don't know. It's a little scary.
So, the Celtics, when I look at it, I don't think it's about the rotations.
He has shortened it a bit here in the recent weeks, though.
Yeah, look, the playing 13 guys thing, you know, if they have eight in the playoffs, they'll be fine. And so, you know who roughly the starting five are. You know, Fournier factors in there now. You know, between Tristan Thompson and Williams, you got one of those guys coming off the bench and whoever, you know, comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, but they're not.
The starters are Tatum, Brown, Smart, Kemba, Robert Williams. Your bench is Thompson, Fournier, Pritchard, and then Nesmith and Langford you use like based on matchups. Like,
but
that's it.
My point is they're not playing well enough for us to.
Right, to like really break
this
down.
Think about the rotation.
No, that's right.
If you can play with their heads up their ass and just slap it out there, it doesn't matter what they're. I mean, start with like the rotation is something you're fine tuning when you're playing well. And going for it and deep into a series and you're on, you know, you're on point and you should play this guy over that guy. Then we get to that point. Like, can I wait to see if they have their heads out of their ass before I talk about the eighth guy?
No, that's a good point. The last time the Celtics played the Bulls, by the way, Chicago had lost 5 of 6 and 13 of 18. And the Celtics lost. So coming into tonight's game, Bulls lost 4 of 5 and 11 of 16. So good luck tonight. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, with this team, I mean, who the hell knows what you're going to get? I mean, their pattern's pretty clear and established at this stage.
Here's Josh in the car on the state of the NHL. What is the state of the NHL, Josh?
Hey, that earlier caller, Frank the Tank, he got to run for Congress because he's so right. All these sissies just freaking out about the violence and the fighting and the sport. And, I mean, the way the Rangers are going now, James Dolan. I mean, all those sissies and all the knuckleheads who think that watching a 4-hour baseball game should get together and just eliminate their DNA from the gene pool. Thanks,
boy. State of the NHL. Like, I mean, you tell me, you're on Twitter, Murray. Was there, you know, outrage over this week and we got to take out fighting and violence in the game and someone's going to get hurt? Was there finger wagging going on?
Yeah, there was a fair amount. And then, you know, you also had the pushback from the Frank the Tanks of the world and Mike from Woburn. And I get it. And look, I'm mostly with those guys. I just think given the again, the habitual line stepping of this particular player. Like, I just thought he went way too far, and there is a line, and he went over it again. So I think that there should have been a suspension. But I don't want fighting and that kind of thing and the violence ultimately taken out of hockey.
I know you don't. I just wonder.
But with Tom Wilson, like, I don't know. Like, enough is enough with this guy.
Yeah, forget the nanas. The game's less violent than it's ever been.
And I don't know what else the league can do.
Oh, God, those people are idiots.
But what I'm saying is, are they getting any traction?
No. To me, I look at it separately. To me, it's not a violence issue. It's a Wilson issue.
Right.
Like, I think it's that simple. There are very few guys in the league now that are like him. I mean, he's the worst of the lot. So, the game now is as benign as it's ever been.
That's why a guy like Wilson stands out.
And by the way, I would say it's entertaining still. I mean, you know, there's still enough hitting in the game, particularly in the playoffs.
To me, the biggest problem in the game by far is the puck doesn't go in the net enough for my liking. The goalies have gotten too good and too big and all that stuff. Like, that I still think is the number one issue in the game. There's too many 2-1, 3-2 games.
I mean, for entertainment value, for action now, okay, football's king, don't get me wrong. Is there a better game to watch than hockey?
Oh, no, the flow of a hockey game is pretty good.
I think it's unmatched. I don't think there's anything else like it.
Especially live.
It's easily the best thing to watch in terms of constant action. Like, so now football's king. I don't mean it that way. I'd love watching a football game. But when they drop the puck, you're getting 2 hours and 30 minutes of guaranteed entertainment, especially when the playoffs come.
Okay, Matt in Framingham, what do you got?
So I agree with you guys that in the most part that Tuukka Rask, the spotlights is really going to be on him to not crap his pants again in the postseason like he's always done. But let's not leave out the so-called perfection line in the postseason. How many times have we watched them in the postseason? The last few years, zero goals, zero assists, 0 points in the biggest game. Guys, these guys need to step it up, or I don't want to hear any more about great regular seasons that they have had.
Fair enough. I'll stop you there.
It's a great point.
Pastrnak and Marchand especially.
Yep, absolutely.
Those two?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, look, you know, Marchand gives you some other things because he kills penalties and blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is he's elite because he produces. And he hasn't produced enough. And Pastrnak goes without saying. I mean, you know, you get him into a physical series, forget it. That whole first line, let's face it, you can push him around.
Oh, they got poleaxed by the Blues. That was a big factor in that series. They lost their battles. They lost their time on ice. And so that can't happen again. Now, the difference is you got a little, you know, that second line now is legit. So you've got a little bit more of a fallback. But you can't have Pastrnak turtle like he turtled against the Blues a couple years ago and expect to win a cup. Paul in Blackstone. Go ahead, Paul.
Mike, so in the lead-up to the draft, I had to hear you talk about how delicious it was going to be for you for one of these quarterbacks that everybody wanted to slip the Bill at 15, and then for Bill not to take him so that it would drive Patriots fans crazy. And then what happens? They take one of the guys, and you instantly spin it into the team was quarterback horny, and then you spend time trying to knock him down, which is fine. I get it. You take facilitation. You got to play to your audience. But, like, can we stop with the false narrative that so many teams were desperate for a quarterback, and you do say it in that dickish voice. The Panthers just traded for Sam Darnold. They gave up 3 draft picks, including a second rounder. They weren't desperate for a quarterback, nor were the Broncos. Sure, could they use an upgrade? Maybe. Indicating that this is some type of referendum on the quality of the player because these guys passed on him, it's great talk radio, but it's driving me crazy.
Well, thank you for the great talk radio line. I'll take that. 7 teams that needed a quarterback passed on Mac Jones. Fact. Sorry.
And some of those teams could be stupid. I can't believe the Panthers passed on Justin Fields. I mean, there was apparent interest there. And the Broncos still might be in the cards to try to trade for Aaron Rodgers.
I also think he manipulated the truth about Carolina. They give up 3 draft picks, including a second.
Ooh. They gave up a 6th-round pick this year.
The others were a 4th and a 6th. Like they won that trade. Let's not make that. And Denver then gave up a 6th for Bridgewater.
A lot of teams needed a quarterback out there. They had a chance for Mac Jones and Justin Fields. That's fair, too. And they passed. So either you're smart and they're stupid or you reached. We'll find out, Paul.
Boy, Patriots fans really defensive about Jones, huh?
Okay. Yes, Stu.
I also wonder about the upcoming availability of Deshaun Watson and how that is germane to the Denver Broncos or the Carolina Panthers.
I think that's a fair point. So that's a better counter caller than you just getting all sensey. Did Denver pass on Mac Jones and Justin Fields because they think they have Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson? And could you say the same thing about Carolina? That's a better answer, that they weren't going to fire those bullets at the draft because they got bigger fish in mind. That I'll take. That's a better one.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, but you're too busy getting your panties in a bunch because other teams passed on Mac Jones. I'm sorry they passed on your guy. Bob in Ludlow. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, like talk to you about the hockey fighting.
Yeah.
The deal, you guys remember, I don't want to go deal this back in the day, but when everybody had a goon. And, like, even Bobby Orr fought and all that. But I want to tell you a little story. In 78, when the Hartford Arena collapsed, the Whalers played in Springfield. And Gordie Howe was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so fun. I went and I watched. The play would be going up the ice, and I knew he was notorious for being on dirty. But he'd be butt-ending guy, this defenseman, giving him the glove wash.
Yeah, the business, Bobby. It's old-time hockey. Those days are gone. Those days are gone.
Gordie Howe.
Yeah, even at 62 years old when he was playing with the Hartford Whalers.
He gave him the bum's rush.
But the first thing, there are no more goons. Like, yeah, every team, we know. Yeah, teams just have entire lines of guys that couldn't play, but they were just there to fight. Now there's not even a single guy in every team who does it.
I know, it blows.
It does, right? I miss the old days.
I mean, again, there's a happy medium in there somewhere. I'm not telling you I want the Rangers and the Capitals every night. I don't know, you know, because I don't want it to be a clown show either. We saw that with Trent Frederick earlier in the year. And it's like, all right, put it away. And keep it in your pants. Instead of swinging it around, let everybody know how much of a man you are. But come playoff time, like, you know, you got to have some hatred in there. It's what makes it good.
Back with more of your calls on Agenda Free Friday right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
How soon do you think before Mac Jones gets the chance to be the starter with the Patriots? Is it a year? Is it right away? What do you think?
I think it's a year. I think, look, they're gonna coach the shit out of him, right? They're going to get him in there. He's going to be smart as hell. Look, here's what you have to do to play quarterback for the Patriots. You have to have great intelligence. Great intelligence. You have to have really great anticipation with the football, and you got to be deadly accurate. Those are the things, those are the three things that Mac Jones does. Now, Mac Jones can't run the power out of shotgun. Mac Jones isn't going to run the quarterback sweep. So they're going to be two different offenses here. There's going to be, but they're going to be the same passing game. This is what I think people disconnect a little bit here. The passing game will be the same for Cam and it'll be the same for Mac Jones. The running game, the position of being able to count for the quarterback in the running game will be somewhat different. But I think Mac Jones will take a redshirt year.
Everything from the week. That was a big one. That was Mike Lombardi to start the week. Close competent of Bill Belichick. And again, Lombardi's son is the receivers coach here in New England. So he's got specific insight. He thinks they're going to go slow with Mac Jones. What's your thought though when you hear that, Miss?
He's really starting to bug the crap out of me, Michael Lombardi. Every time I hear him, and I don't know what it is. It's something about his tone. And maybe that's, you know, I don't know what it is. Every time I hear him go, I feel like saying, would you just shut up already? Good God, I'm so tired of hearing you pontificate.
Because a lot of it is just PR spin.
Oh, my gosh. It's just, let me tell you what you need to play quarterback for the
exactly.
Patriots.
So what it is it's just this arrogance. And it, Maz, what you hear is it's the same tone and same sort of approach that you would hear when, in Detroit, Matt Patricia is the coach of the Lions, and they ask about his defense, and he says, well, I've got one of the great defensive plays in Super Bowl history, so, you know, I think I know what I'm doing. It's that sort of arrogance, I got all the answers kind of thing that underlies these guys.
Especially oh my when gosh. Drafting wide receivers.
He can run a vertical route, he can run a comeback, and he may be able to run a post. That's Metcalf. Metcalf's a three route runner. Now, all you fantasy players at home, if you like that, if you got those three routes in your offense, God bless you, take them. But you're going to have to run some option routes. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to run some in cuts. You're going to have to run some snags. You got to run a tree to be a really good receiver. To me, the kid, Keneal Harry.
Keneal Harry, yeah.
Now, to me, that's a legitimate receiver.
Right.
That guy can play anywhere on the field. He can play F inside. He can play X outside. He can go inside the catch. And when the ball's in his hands, he's a beast. He's a freaking beast. He can go get it. Now, everybody has him going late one, early two. Okay, great. You take Metcalf before him, you're an idiot.
So listen, I don't want to bash him too bad because I think there's value in his commentary.
Of course,
It gives you insight into where they are.
Yes, I value that part of it too. I'm just telling you that his tone is sickening.
Oh, it's brutal.
You're an idiot.
His tone really is sickening. Like
you're an idiot.
Let me tell you what you need to play quarterback with the Patriots. First of all, you got to be smart. You got to be highly intelligent. You got to be able to read a defense. Really? Oh, huh? Didn't know that. Because again, I just assumed that the Patriots wanted some moron back there who couldn't count to five. Like, you know, who couldn't count to a seven-step drop. I thought that that's what they wanted.
You're an idiot.
I mean, every other team apparently in the league wants some sort of, like, illiterate back there.
You're an idiot.
The tone is like, oh, God, would you shut up already?
But the kid, Keneal Harry.
Okay, so he got that one wrong. On Mac Jones, I think he's closer to being right than wrong. I mean, I don't know if Jones is going to redshirt, you know, essentially, and be on ice all year, like Jordan Love in Green Bay last year, like not even dress. I don't think, you know, but I think it's closer to that than starting week one. I don't think Bill's going to be handing him anything.
Oh, I'd be shocked if the kid starts week one. I would. I mean, I'd be stunned because I can't imagine that Bill would hand it to him that quickly. And honestly, that Bill would think he's ready. If that happens, it tells you that Newton has really sucked.
I'd be surprised if he was even close to being that ready. You know, whether Bill puts a high standard on him or not.
I think even if he is, it doesn't matter. He's going with Cam Newton this time of the season.
Yeah, and that might be true. Ray and Rivera, what do you got?
Yeah, listen, I think this Garoppolo thing is a business miscalculation more than it is a talent miscalculation. He's the safer bet. He's the more ready guy. And I think the risk that the Patriots run is that they're losing a window to keep up their business valuation. You know, they're a $4 billion franchise when the average franchise is $2 billion, based upon winning six championships, not because of the way they manage money. And, you know, you've got a wagon down in Tampa Bay that's winding up to win another one. And, you know, there's a pink hat element to the Patriot fan base that is at risk right now. And I really blame Kraft if he lost this guy over money. The easiest thing you could have done is swallowed that contract and brought in the safe bet.
Yep. Yes, it would have been overpaying Jimmy Garoppolo. And that they'd be in better shape right now. I'd consider them a Super Bowl contender if they had just overpaid Garoppolo. And you can debate the merits of whether that was smart or not. I think the takeaway is, though, is that they want to continue their approach with the next quarterback that they had with Brady. They haven't changed their ways. The quarterback's going to have to leave money on the table to, again, in air quotes, be able to surround him with talent if he wants to play here long term. At least that was the, you know, it felt like that's what, you know, Garoppolo would be stepping into, and he didn't want to step into that. So if they couldn't get Garoppolo to take those conditions, who are they going to get to take those conditions?
Some wide-eyed college kid who's wet behind the ears. And that, again, this is the appeal of getting a guy when he's on the younger side. You sort of put your claws into him. You corrupt his thinking. And I say corrupt his thinking. I use that word loosely. You shape his thinking. And you get him on board with you so that he buys in. That's what you do. So, look, I think this has got to be the plan now. You know, that, and I'm not telling you that I think the next guy is going to do it. I just think that their chances are better with a kid coming out of college who somehow feels indebted to Bill and that will play ball with him through years 7, 8, 10, whatever, if he can play.
So the agent thing with Garoppolo is interesting. Again, he's represented by a firm that has Condon and Sexton. Jimmy Sexton is Saban's guy, apparently. He's really aligned with Saban. Condon, it's Tommy Condon, his father, Tom Condon, was Ben Watson's agent who walked away rather than put his name on a contract Watson was going to sign with the Patriots. and basically fired the player or walked away from a deal. When does an agent ever do this? Walked away from the deal because it was such a bad deal. The agent said, I can't be a party to this. And he walked away from the player. And that's going to be Mac Jones's agent. I'd find that interesting.
Yeah. Look, again, I don't know. I think that the Patriots' influence has to come with the player. Because most agents are going to see through it, especially guys that are experienced, Mike. These guys have been around, so it's not like they haven't encountered this sort of thing before. And Condon has lived it. Even if it's the son, his old man's going to tell him, watch out for this guy.
Yep, watch out for this team.
Well, right. And I meant Belichick in particular. I'm sort of pinning it on Bill, but it is the organization at the end of the day. But if the Patriots can sway the player says, just do the deal. The agent works for the player, not the other way around.
That's the way it worked with Tommy.
Absolutely. So that's what they'll do. They'll try to do it that way.
We've got Mike in Falmouth. He's up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Michael.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to talk about how I think anybody who's upset that we didn't get Justin Fields and thinks that Mac Jones can't do it, I think it's so fraudulent. Running quarterbacks do not win championships. The two guys, if you look at over the past 20 years that have won a championship, Pat Mahomes and Russell Wilson, those dudes can chuck it. They are throwers who happen to also run. They are not running quarterbacks. Offensive linemen don't want to play with running quarterbacks because they don't know where they are. And then go back and look at the interview. They interviewed Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith, and they asked them, who would you rather play with, Tua or Mac Jones? They both said they'd rather have Mac Jones as their quarterback.
Okay, so I don't mind that they didn't take Fields, but Murray, you would have taken Fields?
Yeah. No, I think that today's NFL, which is quarterback driven, is more, it's more about that type of quarterback. And I disagree. Like, yeah, those guys can throw, but ultimately, like, they use their legs when they need to, especially someone like Russell Wilson, who's been behind a sieve of an offensive line the last 3 or 4 years. And come on now. Like, to say that those guys aren't running quarterbacks is just, that's, you're moving the goalpost to help your argument.
And I also think it's unfair to say that Justin Fields and Trey Lance aren't throwing quarterbacks. I mean, it's really, it's not like it used to be in college where it was like
one or the other, right?
I was going to say, who was Nebraska? Well, I was going to say Tommy Frazier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Tommy Frazier was one of them.
You know, like, I mean, it's not, we're not talking Tim Tebow. Like, that's not what these guys are now. They run and throw. The question is, can they hold their water, sit in the pocket, and complete ball? Or how proficient are they at doing that?
Like, is Justin Fields like Lamar Jackson? No. Like, Justin Fields, if he pans out, is more like a Dak Prescott or maybe a Deshaun Watson. You know, like, I'd rather that type of quarterback in today's NFL.
Josh Allen. You know,
right.
Like,
yeah, that's another guy, too.
So, it's unsafe. Fields and Lance are just running quarterbacks. They're not. They're more than that. Here's Murray's update. We're right back with more of your phones on an agenda-free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. And you? Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And we continue with your calls on Agenda Free Friday. Here's our buddy Dakota in Braintree on Mac Jones. Hi, Dakota.
So, how about one scenario where Deshaun Watson, now we're hearing that is going to become available, and when he was probably available, the Patriots are probably on the radar to figure something out. And just maybe Mac Jones was taken because Caserio likes him. Mac Jones did meet with the Texans back at the end of January after the Senior Bowl. That's been reported. So there is some connection to Mac Jones and the Texans. And if Deshaun Watson is truly available, then maybe that's why they got cold feet on Jimmy G and kind of said, whoa, wait a minute here for a second. We'd much rather have Deshaun Watson on the Patriots for Mac Jones. Another reason why Bill Belichick really hasn't committed to Mac Jones and anything, and how everybody's saying he didn't really want him.
I don't think this is one of your stronger conspiracy theories, Dakota. And thanks for the call, but let me tell you why. I don't think it was the Patriots that got cold feet on Garoppolo. It was just the opposite. It was Garoppolo who didn't want to come on their terms. Okay, so there's one. But two, Deshaun Watson, you want to dream about that, fine. You know, this year, he's got a real Patriot-like salary. He comes at a real bargain. He's only $10 million this year. Like, this is like one of the things that makes him so so attractive this year. But then starting next year, he's back up to $35 million a year. So now we're back where we started from. Is Deshaun Watson going to take the cheese on the Patriots? Deshaun, you have to take less because we have to surround you with the proper talent. What's he going to say? Is he going to be one of these guys that takes less money?
Yeah, right.
I mean, if he is, God bless. But if he's not, then he makes no sense for you. This is, I feel, the condition they're going to have to put, they're putting on any quarterback. I don't know. So you tell me, if they're willing to pay for Deshaun Watson, we can play around with dreaming about Deshaun Watson. But if they feel their quarterback has to be a certain percentage of the cap so they can sign other players, and they're just going to keep propagating that thing, then take all these guys off your list.
Hey, Deshaun, see, the franchise you played for, Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien, now wants you to take a pay cut. How about doing that, huh? Oh, give me a break.
Well, the other thing is that, you know, look, and maybe this makes some good negotiators, but the fact that he's unhappy in Houston, they will leverage him with that. So they'll say, okay, you're unhappy, you want out, you got to take less. So, and look, this is, it's been this way the whole offseason. I don't know why people think this is so preposterous. Like, this, look at the guys who moved. Carson Wentz, you had to give up draft picks or take the money. One or the other. The Patriots didn't want to do either. Matthew Stafford, you had to do one or the other. They wouldn't do either. So any guy that comes up, they want both. They don't want to pay for the player, and they don't want to pay the player. So this is what, you better take a quarterback at 15 then, and you better hope he can play.
Okay, we talked about the MLB pace of play and the length of their games using yesterday's Red Sox 4-hour and 13-minute 9-inning ball game as a jumping off point. Billy and Taunton on that. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, yeah, you guys, all the problems of baseball could be solved with a pitch clock. You hate the guy scratching their, you know what, getting the rosin. You hate like seeing like people just like staring at, like, I don't even know what they're looking at half the time. And Billy, like, you add a pitch clock for offense.
Agreed.
All that stuff.
I'm with you. Pitch clock. Start with the pitch clock. Do we know what minor league time of games are? Are they way down?
They just started this week. They just started Monday.
Okay. What about last year? Because the clock's been down there for a couple of years.
So
right?
I can it has been there for a little bit. Yeah. So at some levels. So I'll tell you this, that I've seen it. I've been to minor league games where they have it, and it works. It works. It shaves 10, 15 minutes off a game. And it's not just about the clock all the time, it's the mindset. It gets you into that mindset of, okay, I gotta get moving.
Pace.
Yeah. And also, you know, as a fan, you notice it. You look at that clock and you go, there's a pitch coming. So it does sort of keep you engaged as well. Look, the thing works. The issue isn't introducing the clock or not. The clock has to be introduced. When it comes to the clock, the issue is getting the union to negotiate on it. That's what the freaking issue is.
It's just every pitch is such a grind.
I mean, but in that league, everything is a grind. You have to negotiate everything with the union. So look at how easily some of the other leagues implement rule changes.
Oh, I know.
They happen like this. Like this. Baseball's been talking about a pitch clock for 5 years because it has to be collectively bargained. It's asinine.
4 hours, 13 minutes, 1 of 162 in a getaway day in the middle of May. That is just, I'm sorry. That is bananas. Tony in Stoneham on the NFL. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I got to correct something I said yesterday. It was $1 million difference. Not the $10 million. And I was a very minor partner, and we had no shot because of Sullivan and LaRue were the guys, and they weren't going to go with us.
So
but
again,
anyway.
So listen, if you weren't listening yesterday, Tony Stoneham, longtime caller, good friend of the program, claims he was $10 million short of being with the group to buy the Red Sox.
He actually yesterday said $100 million.
You said $100 million yesterday.
Well, it was $1 million.
Wait a minute. This is an important deal. You were $1 million short?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you couldn't come up with that?
That was a long time ago.
No. The offers were put in, and our offer was $1 million short.
Oh, good God. If you're so close,
Tony. It was a negotiation. Plus, we were against Sullivan and LaRue, you know, who had in with Gene Yawkey. So outsiders aren't going to get an even shot at that.
Okay, well, you know, close.
Neither here nor there.
All right.
Here's the thing. You guys just can't understand the Patriots.
We're stupid.
Number one need was a quarterback. They did not negotiate with any quarterback that was available before the draft. They had their eyes set on Matt, and they got him. And they didn't trade up because they didn't need to. Well, they knew who the teams in front of them were going to take.
That part's right. I have no problem with them not trading up. That's been mischaracterized. Bedard's been running around saying, I've been saying they needed to trade up. I don't. It's fine. If you know you can take your player at 15, you stay at 15.
He's wrong about the other thing,
though. But the other thing, you're wrong. Our intel, our reporting says that the Patriots were absolutely negotiating with Garoppolo. That was plan A. And when that fell apart, that's why they went to Jones. So we can do a battle of sources. We can do a backstreet brawl, Tony, involving our sources. But that's what our sources indicate.
Yeah. And again, just look at the timeline. The timeline makes sense. So just look at how it went. They were talking to the Niners early on. They couldn't get something figured out, so they signed Cam Newton, and they went into free agency. Then the draft is coming up, and what happened? They negotiated with Garoppolo. They took another run at it because they wanted it resolved before the draft. They couldn't get the guy, so what did they do? They drafted Jones. I mean, it makes sense. You know, Greg Bedard said early on that Jimmy Garoppolo was plan A. I tend to agree with Bedard. Garoppolo made the most sense for them from the very beginning. Because he's a guy they were familiar with. It didn't feel like it was going to cost a ton to get him out of San Francisco in terms of the draft collateral because of the injuries. And San Francisco then even put the Patriots in a better position when San Francisco moved up to number three in the draft. So I just use logic. The Patriots wanted Garoppolo. They took a crack before free agency. It didn't work. They took another before the draft. It didn't work.
Okay, meanwhile, I told you I had a couple big picture Patriots items that I put in my hot take slow cooker.
The crock pot.
The crock pot. I just can't pronounce it properly. I trip on it every time I try. The
crock pot.
Hot take crock pot. That's not easy to say.
No. And I would argue that there has been all kinds of crock produced by the Felger and Mads show for 11 and a half years.
Seasoning these takes real nice.
Tender. Some of them aren't even seasoned.
Falling off the bone, Murray, as you said earlier. Yep. Moist. Ooh, these are some moist takes. The hot take crock pot.
Tender.
Okay, so I had a couple of them. The first thing was Garoppolo. The second one was the Patriots front office. And have there been changes, fundamental changes, in the personnel department of the New England Patriots? I have some conclusions on that one after it spent some time in the crock pot. We'll get to that right after this.
Boston's home for sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm going to jump this call because, Greg, I had one more question for you. I'm going to let John in Buffalo ask it, hopefully. John, go, please.
Oh, God, Buffalo. Hey, Greg, I know you're really close with Bill Belichick, and I think we're all wondering, what does his jack smell like?
That wasn't my question. His comment line said, Ernie Adams. What's up with Ernie Adams? Is it just time or... Is there a subtle sort of reorganization going on there in the front office?
Come on. The guy's older. He's been, I had heard a few years ago that he was slowing down. There's nothing else to it. Like, it's not, yeah, they ousted Ernie Adams. Like, that's what they did. Like, I mean, come on. He's just, like, have you seen it? Like, he just, it was time. He wants to walk away. He wants to do other things. It's fine. It doesn't have to be some big conspiracy theory and, you know, the Crafts are making a move against this guy and ordering this. I mean, come on.
Well, it could be. I don't know why it couldn't if they want Bill to be more collaborative and all he's doing is going to the back room and talking to Ernie. I don't know. It's not.
Yeah, so they just should have offed Ernie Adams.
Greg, he wants to go and do something else now. Like what? Open up a haberdashery? Like, what are you talking about? He wants to go do this. This is all he's ever done.
There are things that I've heard about Ernie the past couple of years that it's not a surprise that he's stepping away. I mean, not everybody has the longevity of a Bill or other things. There are other things in play.
So here's my second developing opinion.
Just real quick, I love how offended he got too.
Oh yeah. So I kept in that call from the Buffalo guy just because it makes me chuckle.
It's funny.
It is funny. And it was unnecessary. It was gratuitous for me to keep it in there, but I kept it in there. And as I listen back at it, he knew what was coming too, because he's got a thing with the Bills Mafia.
Yeah,
they hate him.
He's all down on Josh Allen and the Bills. And so I cue up a call from Buffalo. You can hear him under his breath go, oh, Buffalo.
Good job.
So he knew it was coming. And that's not the point of it. The Ernie Adams thing is the point of it and how indignant he got. And so the more I think about it, Greg, sorry, respectfully disagree. You can, that old phrase, you can believe what you want to believe. Here's what I want to believe, and here's what I believe. There was a reorganization down there in Foxborough this year. There was a reorganization, and it goes between Nick Caserio, Ernie Adams, the Ziegler kid, you know, turning down the job in Denver. Something went on there, and the most polite way to say it, so you don't upset the people down in Foxborough, is to say that there was a reorganization. But I think they reset their personnel department this offseason, and they reset some of the things that they did down there. And good, they were due for it. And it's not like Bill's been totally neutered or anything like that, but it's just too much of a coincidence, I am sorry, for them to draft the way they've drafted the last couple of years. For the owner to come out and say it, we haven't drafted well, but I've seen some new things this year. I've seen a new approach that I like. And in that same offseason, they allow Nick Caserio to finally take a job somewhere else after blocking him year after year. And Ernie Adams, Bill's right-hand man, steps aside. Sorry, Greg. I don't believe you. I think, and it's really not a grand conspiracy. Like, how is that a conspiracy? It's the organization doing what they should do, which is taking a look at the track record recently and saying, we should probably get some new voices in here. And we should get a different approach. And I don't think Bill's lost ultimate power. It's not like that. But it's like, Bill, you know, here's the track record. So why don't we shuffle some pieces here and get a fresh look at this? And that's going to start with, we'll let Nick go finally. So see ya. You can take that Houston job finally. You know, after they blocked him for years and years, filed tampering charges. When they brought him back last year, he signed a 2-year deal. He signed for 2 years. I think, wasn't that the reporting? And then suddenly, no, he does take the Houston job. I think they let him go. And, you know, Bill, instead of just going in the back room and you and Ernie making up, you know, making all these decisions, we're going to bring it out in the open. And, oh, by the way, an emailer helped point this out. Do you remember when Bill slammed? Do you remember when? Oh, right. When Bill slammed the phone after that bad challenge against the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
How were they this year on the clock and challenges?
Not good.
They sucked. They totally screwed up the clock in Seattle in week two, as early as week two. That last drive, they should have had four plays down there, and they only had three because they messed up the clock at the end of that Seattle game. And that's really Bill's fault, but Ernie's in charge of the clock and challenges, and like that was his domain, right? So they weren't great on the clock, and their challenges were even goofy. Remember the one they missed in that Denver game?
Yes.
Yeah.
So James White on the spot.
And then they challenged. I can't remember what the play was in Buffalo, but Bill let everybody know this wasn't my fault because he slammed the phone on national TV. So I think Ernie had probably lost his fastball to begin with. Or he had whatever. Maybe that's what Greg was alluding to. But, you know, I don't know. I think there were signs that the whole clock management and replay management wasn't so hot last year. So maybe between that and their lousy drafts, they just said, you know, we're going to freshen up some of these positions, Bill, and that's what happened.
Oh, look, it didn't happen overnight. I mean, it's not like it was a single thing that overnight they woke up and said, well, okay, Ernie's gone. So the fact that, you know, when Greg says he's heard some things over the last couple of years, this coincides with their bad drafts, and as you say now, and I didn't even think about that, but the clock management, and I think they've been headed this way. And I think, you know, 7-9 put it over the top.
And they should have, and they should be. The personnel work's gone downhill, so change it. And and Ernie and his usefulness. Well, maybe that's part of the problem, that Bill's too insular and it's too many decisions down there get made by a committee of two, of one or two. And you know we're going to change that, Bill, because the decision making recently hasn't been so hot. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's what they should be doing. And when you lose. I mean, I don't think this is an overstatement to say it. The two most important or powerful guys down there, other than Bill in one offseason, I mean, I don't know. At the very same time, the owner says the drafting hasn't been good, and I've liked the new approach. I don't think that's much of a conspiracy theory.
Look, the thing with a guy like Ernie, as valuable as he might be to Bill, is that over years, you know what he becomes? A crutch. He becomes a crutch. The coach relies on him for everything, or he's the one guy he trusts. And look, you know, I always hate making analogies to other sports, but this is not a new thing in the world of sports. You remember the whole thing with Dombrowski? Would only talk to Frank Wren and La Russa?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, La Russa.
Right? So the point being that once you have your guy, you then have your support. Right? Now you have the backup you need in any sort of disagreement in the organization. Well, he agrees with me, so we're going to do it. So, in Bill's case, he trusts Ernie. And I'm not telling you that Ernie didn't have great value to him. I just think that the danger in that over time is that
you become too insulated.
Yeah, it gets too comfortable. It gets too comfortable and you don't have to deal with anybody else. And then, now you're getting just one way of thinking and that's not good.
It's just common sense. We need to take a fresh look at this, Bill. And you're not firing Bill. So you've changed some of the pieces around him that are making the decisions. The thing that's disappointing is that it feels like, in our intel, is that Matt Patricia's filling some of this Ernie Adams void, right, Stu?
Yep, I was on this early. I had this first. Matt Patricia's in the inner circle.
You're filling it with cheese.
So it's like,
that's scary.
Like how, like, okay, so we need some fresh ideas and different voices in here and a different approach. Well, how fresh of a voice is Matt Patricia? Or is it just another Belichick Bobo?
No, he's another Bobo, but I'll tell you what. He's allegedly a whatever he is.
Yeah, whatever.
Aeronautical rocket scientist.
Neat.
Okay.
What's that got to do with football?
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
So what does Ernie Adams have to do with football and his idyllic memory, his photographic memory? Like, he can just sit up there and process things quickly. So if Patricia's got some sort of processing speed and he can give Bill something from the booth that I got no problem with that, fine. If his power gets greater than that, then I'm worried.
Look out. This thing is happening.
What's happening?
I mean, Patricia's got his owner, Ernie Adams, who he brought over from Detroit. So watch out for the profiles on something named Evan Rothstein.
Oh, yeah, that worked well in Detroit.
So this was reported today, wasn't it?
Because I had this first.
Yeah, Jimmy did have it first. Jimmy did have it first. I'll give him that.
It's not real to Nana unless it's in the newspaper.
No, that's right. This little thing in my hand, kids, is a little baby dinosaur is called the newspaper.
What's his name? Sam Rothstein?
You're about the guy that fixed the World Series?
Ace is high.
Yeah, this was at the very bottom. This was at the bottom of Andrew Callahan's notes in the Boston Herald. According to Neil Stratton of Inside the League, which is like, I don't know, like a trade.
What's that?
I don't know. It's like maybe a trades thing for the NFL scouts and everything.
It's a newsletter.
Mac Groh has been promoted to director of college scouting. Groh was among Belichick's three-man inner circle this offseason who helped lead the team's draft preparation and execute its free agency plans. During the draft, Groh announced the team's six-round selection. The other members of Belichick's inner circle were new personnel chief Dave Ziegler and front office consultant Elliot Wolf. Neil Stratton at Inside the League, Steve Cargill, did you just say this? Cargill is now the team's director of pro scouting, a position Ziegler once held. Blah, 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 blah. Where did I see this? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, no, where did I see the Lions thing?
In the email chain by me.
So maybe that was your thing that I read, not this. Sorry, that was okay. You, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What's his name now?
I had it first.
What's his name?
Evan Rothstein.
And he comes from Detroit.
He was Matt Patricia's Ernie Adams in Detroit. And he even called defensive plays for a game against Tom Brady where the Buccaneers won 47-7.
Okay, so great.
Oh, that was the Thanksgiving Day game. That was when the whole staff had COVID.
No, it was great. This is where importing the Matt Patricia brain trust from the Lions. That's tremendous.
So nice inner circle he got there, Bill.
All right. So anyway, Gasper's standing by. We'll get right to Christopher. He's got some thoughts on the events of this week and the draft leftover thoughts as well. We'll get to it right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.